In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Today, in this second part of the chapter 4, the holiest week of the year, Holy Week. And the church is prepared for us, step by step, for this sacred experience. The liturgy that we participate in tells the story of our Lord's last days and hours of life. And as we walk through the liturgy and the ceremonies of Holy Week, we relive those moments and those days with our Lord. And this is the miracle of liturgy. I am so grateful to be a part of the Anglican tradition that pulls and worships through liturgy. It is not priestcraft, it is not magic, but there is a miracle to liturgy. When we participate in liturgy and Holy Week, there's more than a mere passing point. Yes, in a sense, in general, act out some of the last things that Jesus did in his last hours and days. But it's more than just passing, it's more than a passing point. We believe that as we do these things, the very reality that was with Jesus at that time in the disciples, the reality comes to us. In a way that is supernatural, such that on Good Friday, at that moment, when we commemorate the very death of Jesus and sing to him, "Were you there when he crucified my Lord?" we will be able, with all authenticity, honesty, to say, "Yes, through liturgy, we were there." That is the gift and the miracle of liturgy. And so, let us expect something from this Holy Week. Also, as I mentioned in the very first sermon on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent, that never for us are the events of Lent and that of Holy Week separated from the miracle, the love of the resurrection story of Easter. We are not like Peter, James, and John, who experienced this on the other side of the cross. We see all these things, and we do the difficult things of Holy Week through the lens of the story of resurrection and of love. And that makes all the difference in the world as we contemplate the darkest, most serious moments of the life of our Lord. I remember as a little boy wanting to stay up late. My mother was strict and my father was lenient. And when she would go to bed early, I would sneak out of bed and find my father in front of the telephone. And I'd go and sit next to him and watch some very scary show. But in no time, I regretted my decision. Because it seemed like the rest of my school was loose. It was all over. And my father was so calm. I said, "But Papa, why are you so calm? Look what's happening." He said, "No, it's all right. It will be okay." "How do you know?" It's in the script. It's in the script. I've never forgotten that. So for Christians, we can do the difficult things that's Holy Week because we know the script. We know that love is unconscious in the end. And so with that, we walk with our Lord through these dark days. What I would like to do in this homily briefly is to just kind of give a light review of the meaning of the days of Holy Week. After all, we only do this once a year. And in a complicated liturgy, it's important to know what each one represents. And so, today we begin on Palm Sunday, the golden gateway to Holy Week. And we begin today with a palm ceremony, much simplified because of the pandemic. We didn't have a normal first person from the garden and all the ceremonies. But the palm ceremony is reminiscent of the first Palm Sunday when Jesus, the unblemished Passover Lamb of God, rode on the donkey to the house of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. Reminiscent itself of when the Passover Lamb, centuries and centuries and centuries before, was brought into the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when they were enslaved. As I think I mentioned in the last three of my sermons. But remember, again, Moses instructed the houses of Israel to take an unblemished lamb
and taken into their homes, and at that appointed hour, the sacrifice of lamb, to place the blood on the door, such that when the angel of death came into to kill the firstborn of all living, to break the will of Pharaoh, it recognized the blood and passed over those homes, thus saving the people of Israel. And so those lambs were forever called the Passover lamb. For Jesus, the unwritten Passover lamb of God, on the first Palm Sunday, rose into Jerusalem into the house of Israel to save on point of time before his time of sacrifice. And it was, notice the children especially, who had the sixth sense of who he was. And they recognized him as a Hosanna in the highest. This is the king that put song before his wedding. We commemorate that today. And then we have the reading or the chanting of the Passionary, which was done so beautifully and hauntingly by our choir today. And this, what this does is, on Palm Sunday, foreshadows the event, the commemoration of Holy Week. And then finally today, again, keeping in mind, we know the scripture, we see this in the lens of resurrection, we celebrate the Eucharist. The resurrection love of God with us, that promised that whenever we come together with bread and wine, the very presence will be with us. And we need that presence today. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Holy Week are much like the normal days of Lent. We can even offer a Mass at 12:10 every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Thursday, in the family chapel. Then we return to the church Thursday evening at 6:30 in person and in live stream, so we can be together as a family on this holy day. These 3 days are called the Triduum, the holy days of Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And when we come to the church, the altar for our will be adorned in white. It has not been adorned in white since the feast of the presentation before then. It will be decorated and adorned because it will represent that night in the upper room when Jesus gave his last gift before leaving this earth to his disciples, the gift of Eucharist. And so that is when we celebrate with unending joy this holy gift. And for the first time in the season of life, we will sing the glory and self. And bringing the bell, security, it will be the last time the bell will be rung until the first Mass of Easter. We'll have a clapless from that point on in the presence of the bell. And we will celebrate the Eucharist and give thanks. And in normal times, we will also watch food. Because remember, Jesus said, I have a new commandment to love one another. If you want to be great, you must be a servant of all. You can't do that this year because of the pandemic. We will commemorate the gift of Eucharist. Then what did Jesus do after the last supper? He took Peter, James, and John, most trusted disciples, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He heard Jacob praying. This was one of our most darkest moments. We implored him not to be sweated from blood. He was so scared. And he prayed that famous prayer, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. So on Thursday, we will, in liturgy, bring that reality to us. We will take the presence of Christ in the sacrament and make a procession to what we call the altar of repose, the family chapel altar, which was white flowers reminiscent of the Garden of Gethsemane. And we will rest the presence of Christ there. And then after the Mass at night, the chapel will be open throughout the night, and people will have assigned to keep vigil with our Lord. The Jews of our Lord, Peter, James, and John cannot do, bring the gift falling asleep, and it hurt on them. Even our Lord needed human company. He needed companionship. He said, can you not stay awake 1 hour with me? And they couldn't. So we will do for our Lord to take him up. And our wonderful Ian, who operates a live stream, for 1 hour after the Monday Thursday service, will focus the camera on the altar of repose. But those of you joining throughout the world online can keep your vigil for 1 hour on that evening. And then on Monday Thursday, one last thing. Before we leave in silence, we have to prepare the altar for Good Friday. And Good Friday won't represent, it does not represent the upper room, but rather the slab of sacrifice. And so again, in the context of liturgy, when the choir sings the haunting Psalm 22, the servers and the priests will lift the altar of all the adornments, all the vessels, We will pour drops of water and wine just anoint the altar for the sacrifice. And he leaves them fine. And then on Good Friday we return at noon. Because it was the highest hour which was upon us all. And the Good Friday Mass is unlike the liturgy is unlike any liturgy of the year. We do not celebrate a Mass. It used to be called the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. Now we call it the Community Reserved Sacrament. But we do things that we might not be comfortable doing throughout the year. We have moments of calm and silence. We become comfortable in those moments. We praise ancient solemn columns. We have what we call the veneration of the cross, where we have the crucifix, and one by one we come before us. Carefully this year, what we do to kiss, or to kneel, touch, and just to pause before the cross to honor. And then we make the procession to the altar and close the Garden of Gethsemane. And we bring the presence of Christ back to this altar, and we give it away. We simply give all the sacred communion away. Some might be eating two or three sacred hosts, because it all must be spent, it all must be consumed, for those good signs to commemorate his very death. And commemorating that and sing the hymn, were you there in the crucified my Lord? And we sing with the sanctuary hymn, and leave him silent. And normally, on the vigil of Easter, that Saturday, we would come and have our first Mass of Easter then, and to bless the pastor and to bless the holy water. We're not able to do that this year, but we do a beautiful thing. We're going to offer a keepsake to this congregation. We're going to videotape the blessing of the county, the blessing of the water, and the beautiful thing of exalted. And then our boys' choir, girls' choir, men's choir, women's choir will offer a music gift of Easter that we can have as a whole throughout the season, that we can share with our friends, and that we will always remember the miracle of this season. And our first actual Mass of Easter will be Easter Day, in person as people join us online. And great to be that day. It's not with us. We're here as a family, we gather, and it's not the same as it will be next year when we come back outside of the pandemic. But 4 years ago, on this day, when Jerry and I had our first Sunday with you, I remember in my sermon on that Palm Sunday, I quoted one of my favorite quotes of faith, and it is this: there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. There's no pit so deep that God's law will not be fulfilled. And that is the promise of holy. That is the promise of Easter miracle. That is the promise that our religion teaches us week after week. There's no pit so deep that God's law will not be fulfilled. Deeper even than a pandemic. Deeper even than the separation that has come upon us. There's a tomorrow, also the 1 year anniversary of the death of our first parishioner who died of COVID-19. The beloved person, Joseph Michael Thompson, who was always the first parishioner every Sunday to come because he wanted to hear the boys and girls choir practice. A great and generous man of the church. He died at age 89, refusing a ventilator to get to younger people. We remember him, and that was words of the Joseph Michael as well. There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deep still, not even the pit of death, which we all will face. That is the promise of Easter. That is the promise of Lent. Go hand in hand. And that is our faith. I wish you a holy, sincere, a beautiful commemoration of Holy Week and then the celebration of Easter.